You may be seated. Let us keep moving in this continuum of expository conveyances of the Word of God, depicting the glorious body of Christ, the church. What a wonderful subject. Oh my God, to just think about it. Hallelujah. Amen. Our eternal place of residence.
Yeah.
Where we abide in a never ending relationship with the very nature of God as our attributes. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Amen. To even grasp this, it is a matter of the Holy Spirit conveying it to you to the point of internalizing it.
All right. That's right.
It makes all the difference in your life to have this knowledge so that life can transcend all of the things that are around you. I think about the people over in Asia this morning who are still alive, 150,000 or so of them perished. Some, I understand, 5 million or so without homes. Everything that they had is wiped out. And I guarantee you there are Christians among those. Probably many of God's people, I would say. I would dare to say, because he does not discriminate in the floods and, amen, in the tragedies of life.
So
there are always some of the just intermingled with the unjust.
Right.
Amen. For those who are his people and they find themselves stripped and wiped clean of all earthly possessions, amen. It is of the utmost importance to them that their view transcend the things around us. And this is not to say that the things around us are not important. They're ultimately important. Amen. Life has to consist of things that far outweigh the physical and the natural things that we can taste and touch and smell. And in the natural vein, connect with. Life on earth is a short duration. Amen. Everything that you have, everything that has been given to you, and everything that you have as a possession is a temporary situation. Amen. We have these things because in proportion to the necessity of them as we transmogrify through life. Now, the total essence of life, amen, must be focused in the eternal vein. If you live 100 years, you've lived 1,200 months. If you live eternally, there is no number large enough, amen, to account for it. And so, we dare here at this ministry focus and prioritize our thoughts, our aspirations, and certainly our hopes in the eternal vein of the everlasting sphere of things that have no end. Let us turn to the to our base scripture. It's Deacon Gavin is our designated reader. Turn to Galatians. Brother Deacon, we're going to read from the third chapter, and you know the verses by now, 26 through 29. Then we want to move very rather quickly this morning into Colossians chapter 1, where we have been gleaning for some time in the first chapter. We will read the context, for context sake, verses 15 through 20. And then I think last week when we stopped, we were somewhere in the middle of verse 18.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Maybe we get to 19 today, and maybe we won't. Amen. As the Spirit shall lead us.
Mm-hmm.
All right, everyone has Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. Say amen.
Amen.
All right, read.
Galatians 3:26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus, in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ.
Mm-hmm.
There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And if ye be Christ,
mm-hmm.
then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to promise.
In other words, basically he is saying that those who are in Christ, and Paul uses the preposition ye or if mm-hmm. only in relationship to the fact that he's not vouching for those who are in, except himself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Amen. But those who are in Christ, they are there according to the promise of justification by faith.
Mm-hmm.
Those who are members of the body of Christ are there on the basis of being justified by the faithfulness of Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
that which he accomplished in our behalf. All right, let's go quickly to the first chapter, Colossians. Let's go to the 15th verse. For contextuality, as we move through the exposition of this context, everyone has it, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Read.
Colossians 1:15.
Mm-hmm.
Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature.
Talking about Jesus.
For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him.
Who is him? Who is
Jesus.
The reference to him? He,
Jesus.
Him, Jesus.
Jesus.
I don't have a problem if you said God, because Jesus is God.
All right.
Read.
And he is before all things,
mm-hmm.
and by him all things consist.
Mm-hmm.
And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn out from the dead, that in all he might have the preeminence.
Mm-hmm.
For it pleased God that in him should all fullness dwell.
Thank God.
All right.
Glory.
It pleased him that all fullness should dwell. Verse 20.
And having made peace through the blood of his cross,
mm-hmm.
by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven.
You notice how everything is revolving around Jesus.
Everything.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a testimony to who he is.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. If he wasn't God, everything wouldn't be by him, for him, unto him, because of him. It's all about him.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
That's
That's God. All right, let's look at the 18th verse from the Greek text. And he is the head of the body of the church. Here, as we said last week, just very quickly, we have it, what we call a double genitive, mm-hmm. of the body of the church. Mm-hmm. Genitive case shows ownership and possession.
Right.
So he heads the body and he heads the church. In verse 24, it expresses the fact that the body is the church. Of mm-hmm. the church is the body. Mm-hmm. Men of God's people don't know what the church is. We
That's
think
true.
Church is comprised of organization.
Mm-hmm.
But no, that is the earthly, that is an earthly manifestation of those who are in the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But that is not the church. The church is the body of Christ.
Right.
It is a spiritual entity.
Right.
Amen. Who is the beginning, the firstborn out from the dead, that he might be the first one in all things.
Mm-hmm.
Again, scrutinizing the contents of this verse, we look at the informational setting of that which its intention is, and that is to convey to us the importance of the head.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Moving forward to the succeeding phrase in that verse, from the Greek is estin archi prototokos in ton necron, which is rendered, who is the beginning, the firstborn out from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
Again, archi, the beginning, denotes Christ as the essence of origination and initiation. It defines, describes, and identifies him in the essence of who he is.
Yes.
And he is first, beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. The essence of Christ extends beyond the furthest extremity of perceived existence into the realm of that sphere where God dwells alone.
Mm-hmm.
So, but then, were Jesus there? Yes, Jesus
mm-hmm.
is God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And this is why John could say in chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God.
Mm-hmm.
And you notice, again, as I pointed out several outings ago, that we have the Greek word there, ing, that's etani,
mm-hmm.
Which is in what we call the perfect tense. It depicts that which was previously existing.
Mm-hmm.
it deals with the essence that he always was. When you get back to eternity, God is already operating. That's
mm-hmm.
what it's saying.
All right.
And Jesus is God.
All right.
So here we bring this over into focus for the sake of appreciating the body of Christ, appreciating who you are.
That's right.
Amen. That we indeed have the nature of God.
Mm-hmm.
Moving forward, protokos in ton nekron, translated the firstborn out from the dead. Again, what this is depicting is an illustration of what regeneration really is.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let that word re-throw you. That's one of the things we shall deal with, maybe not today, but at some point in perfecting class. Amen. When we think of regeneration, reconciliation, redemption,
yeah.
We put all of that in time saying, well, it is something that is done over because of the prefix read. But we'll deal with that, and just know and understand this, and of course the only the Spirit can convey this to you, that all of the workings of all the doctrines of salvation were actualized in the decree, an eternal decree. A thing is actualized when it actually comes into existence. And this is why we're also writing on the doctrine of ontology. Basically, ontology speaks of the existence of something. When does something exist? Most of us think of things existing when we realize it.
All right.
All right. Of creation is basically, in our mind, consigned to the revelation or manifestation of creation. No, no. The actuation of a thing goes back to the precept of it entering into the thought process of God and being placed in decrees.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. This would entail redemption. This would entail reconciliation. When were you reconciled? At Calvary? No, in eternity. When were you redeemed? At Calvary? No, in eternity. Huh? When were you brought into the body of Christ? The day and the moment you believe? No, in eternity. Amen. So we must distinguish actuation of the bringing into existence as it is distinguished from the manifestation or revelation of that which has been brought into existence.
Right.
Amen. As we look at this, we see that the regeneration basically is tied into the expression new creation. Amen. In this view, Christ is the initiation of the spiritual generation that is comprised of those designated ones that were chosen in him in the eternal sphere. Amen. Now I know that this is in stark contrast to our thought process as it relates first to creation and then to regeneration. As I was conveying in the Friday evening Bible study, do not, be drawn into a mindset of thinking like most of the church world, that when we are redeemed and we are renewed and we are given a new nature, we are going back to the original state of Adam before he fell in the garden. No, no, no. Redemption, amen, regeneration is not being made like the original Adam. It's like being made like Christ.
Right.
Redemption does not focus on Adam in any state. Amen. Regeneration, redemption, the object and target of all of these invested in the essence of Christ. We are be like Christ. We'll be like him. We won't be like the first man, Adam. Amen. And not even before he sinned in the garden. Amen. And here we have the explicit statement here of Jesus Christ as the first fruit. Here we have the Greek word aparchē. Amen. And the general thought is conveyed, and now Christ is raised out from the dead. In the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, we dealt with that last week. Amen. Of those who had been sleeping, he is not speaking of anything in the earthly realm, in the sphere of time. Here, this is depicting eternal workings. Amen. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. The basic cogitation or the basic thought is Christ's resurrection in the origination of that which did not previously exist. And the manifestation of it is revealed in the spirit, in the sphere of time. In the resurrection of believers, the manifested point of one's recognition of identifying with what one is. Amen. That's not the regeneration, the origin of regeneration. Amen. That is the origin of your identification with your, amen, eternal, amen, place and position in the body of Christ. So let's move it out of time, back where it belongs, in the eternal realm. Now, as we said last week, and I guess it's taking a little time to reiterate these things, amen, but we can't go through them too many times. The summarized confirmation of this entails the following. Number one, we've gone through these verses. Christ is the image of the invisible God. Mm-hmm. Amen. With the emphasis being on, amen, invisible. Amen. Hallelujah. We don't know him as the lowly Nazarene that walked the dusty shores and healed the sick and gave sight to the blind. Amen. The so-called historical Jesus. We don't. Paul writes to the, amen, the Corinthians, and he says we don't know him like that anymore. We don't know him according to the flesh. In fact, we don't know anyone, amen, according to the flesh. Number two, he always has, is, and will forever eternally exist. That is, he existed before anything else. Number three, all things were created by him and for him. Amen. And to him. And so number four, he is the end. He is the object. He is the purpose of all things, including creation. Number five, he continuously holds together all that he has created. Amen. Number six, he is the exclusive head. And this is very important, amen, so that we can appreciate who we are. He is the exclusive head of the body, amen, which is the church.
Yes.
Woo, hallelujah. Yes. That should make somebody happy this morning. Yes. Number seven, he is the essence, the beginning. He is the beginning.
All right.
He is the essence. Do not try to separate, amen, the Godhead into three components. Amen. There's one Godhead. There's one intelligent source. There's one emotional center. Oh my God. Hallelujah. Note the subordinating conjunction that in all of that it prefaces the statement that he himself might be the first one in all things. As we said, the assimilation of these facts is very important in that they form the basis of Jesus Christ abiding first and foremost position-wise in the lives of God's people. Such information explicates who he is, what he has done, as it is the formulation of a thorough knowledge of his eternal being, an authority in the accomplishment of his purpose and will. Now, what good is this? Comprehension and acknowledgement of this will serve as the catalyst for true and perpetual commitment and devotion to Jesus Christ.
It will.
As we deal with the subject of parentheses, exhortations, amen, many do not construe exhortation to be given out information. They said giving out information is one thing, exalting the people is another. No, they're not. They're one and the same. Because the only way to spiritually exalt you is through, amen, the word of God, the facts, the information of who he is. Amen. You want to get me stirred up? Amen. Don't set up, amen, members of the month club in the church. Amen. One pastor, I understand this week, when people come into the church, they're all given a ticket. At the end of the ticket, they give away something, a TV set or something, and they're packed out. There's not things that we could do, amen, to increase, quote, increase attendance. But what have you sacrificed in the interim, in the process, amen? The focus, the aim, amen. The attention, the affection must be all on the perfect one, the great one, oh my God, the blessed one, amen, the God of your salvation, who loved you before he ever made you. And if Jesus isn't enough, and we don't have anything else to offer, Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we focus on him because he is the one possession that you have that no tsunami can wipe away. Amen. It may come and it may take away everything that you got. Amen. But I said, amen, and this is not to make light, as we're certainly praying for and have compassion for the millions of people, amen, who have lost loved ones and who have lost all of their possessions, amen. But I would say to such one, amen, you have not lost the greatest thing, the most precious thing that you have, amen, because if you were called and elected in eternity, no storm, oh my God, you have to hear me this morning, no catastrophe, amen, no, as Paul said, I'm persuaded that nothing can separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. So, the purpose, follow me now, the purpose of Paul's writings, and communicating the knowledge of Jesus Christ is that all might recognize him as the essence of their lives. Amen. Observe, we have here what we call participle, which is a verbal adjective. Amen. Here we have a verb operating as an adjective, the Greek participle protevon. It is in the present tense, talking about now. Mm-hmm. It emphasizes the fact that the eternal Christ is first. Mm-hmm. Amen. If you want to go to time, he's first in time, mm-hmm. but more importantly, he's first in eternity. Mm-hmm. Amen. Because time is a creation of the one who was first in eternity.
All
right. He's first in rank.
That's right.
The preeminent and supreme one.
That's right.
Here, notice now, as we go into a little structure in here, this participle, protevon, is in the nominative case, which means it is the subject.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. He is first.
Mm-hmm.
That is the center of the message.
Yeah.
Christ is first.
Yeah.
Amen. He is above everything.
Yeah.
Amen. He is greater than everything.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, our focus is on him to the point that everything else is secondary.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Thank you. Yes.
And I know that's tough.
Glory to God.
Because there are so many other things that compete for our attention.
Amen.
Amen. Day to day.
Yeah.
Our lives, the things that are around us, our families, our homes.
Right.
And
right.
You know, they say, why would God send a storm and wipe out 150,000 to 200,000 people
mm-hmm.
in one day? Why would God do that? What would be the purpose of that? Amen. I'm not one to stand here and try to give you the rationale of the supreme being, because our finite minds are not able, amen, to function in the same arena as God. But looking at the results of some things, amen, and the testimony that's in the Word of God, the greatest people that God used, especially, amen, for the dispensation of grace, he stripped them of everything they had. He stripped Paul of everything he had. But yet, here's a man having materially nothing, saying that I have all things. Huh? Because he recognized that all things are in the essence of Christ. Here are the emphasis. Follow me now. I might not be jumping around, but I'm giving out information this morning. The emphasis is on the essence of Jesus Christ and the position that he occupies relationship-wise in the lives of all believers. I think that I'll repeat that. The emphasis must be on Jesus Christ and the essence of who he is and what you have internalized him to be in your life.
That's right.
What is Jesus to you? To answer that question is to put a value on what life really entails. What is life all about? Say, well, life is about my family. Well, there is aspect of your life, a big aspect of your current life that is about your family. Say, well, my life is about a job. You know, got to live. It takes money to live. And that is a very real, amen, occurrence and activity that you are engaged in, amen. But there is a limitation to that, amen. It has its place, amen, but it is not the total occupant of what living is all about. This is why Paul, in the fourth chapter of Ephesians, he writes and he says to the brethren in Ephesus, amen, that they should walk worthy of the vocation. Paul wasn't talking about their crafts and their trades and their profession. Amen. And we must understand, if you break that Greek word down, that it is speaking of one's main function, one's prioritized function. So my question to you this morning is, what is your vocation? Amen. Some say, well, it's, again, I've said to you, it's my job. Is that really your primary and main function in life? Something could happen to that job. So, oh, Pastor, there you go again.
Good.
You don't think a tsunami can happen over here? Oh, no, that's on that side of the world. They've had tsunami watches for the coast of California and Oregon for years.
San Andreas fault.
And the problem is, we live so much in the current event atmosphere until we don't even follow history.
That's so true.
Thank you.
A tsunami wave could come up, and I'm not praying that it happens. In fact, I'm praying it doesn't happen, at least not my lifetime. But it could come up and wipe out all the coastal cities from, what is that up in the, is it Maine?
Washington.
I'm talking about, they're watching. They're watching for it in the specific ocean.
Yes.
God doesn't work like that. Yeah. You're looking for it in the Pacific Ocean, he just sent it in the Atlantic Ocean. God doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
That's where they've got all the instruments set up, say, this is where it's going to happen. Amen. Doesn't work like that. Amen. Even Jesus said there will be earthquakes in what? In different places.
Yes.
Amen. And you don't know where they are, only because he orders them. So, oh, no, that's not God, that's the devil. Amen. Now we got the devil ordering things. No. But it could happen. It could happen. And the only thing that we're trying to convey, at least to those that are in earshot of this ministry, is that put your trust, aspiration, aims, and hopes, and let them be revolving around the nucleus of Christ. And if any one of them fall, anything concerning your life, you lose it, life isn't over.
Amen.
Yeah.
Life isn't over.
Yes, Lord.
You're not like some people I heard in Depression 29, lost everything they had, committed suicide.
Sure did.
Some people did that in the 80s.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Because they felt that this is what life is about, and I don't have that anymore. I don't have life anymore. No. Don't you ever be in a state of mind that you can't do with anything that is except Jesus. And this is what it speaks of, him being the preeminent one.
That's right.
He is being the one of most importance.
That's right. Hallelujah.
And this is why we have spent so much time on the body of Christ. And there are a lot of things we could talk about this morning in the political arena, in the social arena. We could even, amen, focus on healing and health and all of these things. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying these things are unimportant, amen. But we focus on the supreme important thing. And that's the essence of your relationship, Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
That is the most important thing going on
most.
In your life.
Most. Hallelujah.
Glory.
Who we are.
Glory.
Who we are. We say, I know who I am. We say, I'm a parent and I'm a grandparent. That's fine. But that has a limitation. Amen. That is in the sphere of time and occurrence, amen, and a relationship that ends through death.
Yes.
And every one of us have an appointment.
Yes.
Every one of us.
Yes.
God has an exit plan for each and every one of us off of this earth.
Yes.
They vary, amen, and we don't know the details. We don't know when, we don't know where, we don't really know how. Amen. But here's an exit plan. Here's an entry plan and an exit plan.
Yes,
amen. But in the body of Christ, there is no exit plan. Eternally, he saved you. And this shall forever be. Whatever your state and course in life may be.
Yes.
Thank you.
Whatever happens, there's nothing that's guaranteed. Sometimes we lose loved ones and it throws us for a loop. And it's like, what is happening? My world is crumbling around me. No, your world isn't crumbling.
Thank you, Jesus. Preach it.
I can't go. Yes, you can.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
I can't cope with this no more. Yes, you can.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And it's not you, it is Christ in you, which should be the hope of glory. As he works within us.
Yeah.
But how does he do it? He does it through the essence of the information. As we shall deal a little bit this afternoon. Amen. He takes the indicative that affects and moves it by process to the imperative. Amen. Which speaks of the things that we should do. But we do them through the process and the mechanism of what God has put in place. It is by his word. You are strengthened by the word. You are strengthened through the knowledge of the word.
Amen.
You are strengthened by the information concerning who you are.
That's right.
We're strengthened by the fact, amen, that nothing can separate us from the love of God.
Yeah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
We're strengthened when we realize the brevity of what it means to be a member of the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That means something.
Sure.
I mean, God's people, I mean, they, you know, and this, again, God, it is the Holy Spirit that conveys and calls us to internalize the things, amen, of God, amen. But I'm just telling you how it happens. Some people they don't get in the word, and you know what that's like. That's like you go out there, and I hope this doesn't happen. But let's say somebody while you were in here took the engine out of your car. I guarantee you, because this is the process of God.
Mm-hmm.
When you come out, they may tow it away, but you're not going to drive it away.
No way. No, you ain't driving that.
Because there's no power in the engine. In it for it to move. That's what the indicative is. These are the facts and the revelation of the truth. These are the vehicles that the Holy Spirit uses you as he causes you to do the things that identify with who you are. That's how it works. So basically, God, he can just out of the blue cause you to do in the times that he has. But his process is no word, no action.
Mm-hmm.
No positive action.
Mm-hmm.
No profitable action.
Come on here.
Even though he is the one that's causing you to do the action, he does it, amen, through the mechanism of the word of God. The Holy Spirit. It's a sign, amen, to convey the word of God, and he calls us the one that he has decreed to do his work, to internalize who he is and what he is. And this is why Paul said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That car won't move again until an engine is placed in it. Not on his own. I mean, it can be towed. That's another force. God is doing all the force. That could God, amen, without a motor, cause that car to move? Yes. Because all motion comes from him.
Yes.
But that's not his process. And so we have to sit under the word. And the word of God takes effect. And remember when we were given the exposition on the spirit of truth? It is God. It is the Holy Spirit that speaks to your spirit. Because you don't know the things of God. Because no man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man. I know what my thoughts are. You don't know what my thoughts are.
No.
Likewise, you don't know what the thoughts of God is.
Nope.
other thoughts of God are. Amen. Let's get the subject and the predicate in the, in the same case. If it's plural, let's go all the way through with it. Amen. You see the importance of the grammar. But we don't know what the thoughts of God are.
Yeah, that's right.
But the Spirit knows what the thoughts of God are. And so it is the Holy Spirit that communicates with your spirit and conveys the thoughts, the purpose, the will, the plan, amen, of God to you. And if you internalize it and if you receive it, it's because the God has favored you because it works spirit to spirit. And God has a purpose for those whom he calls to internalize it. God has a purpose for you. If he has given you this information, and if you are receiving this information, it is for a purpose. God has a reason, because everybody don't know who Jesus is. Look at that clock.
Thank you.
Give me about 10 minutes. I'm going to run just a few over. I want to get, oh my God, I guess, I don't know when we get through with this, but you know what? This is so important.
This is
so important. This is not a 6-week course, a 6-month course, even a 6-year course. Wallace and I were talking last night, amen, as we were eating, that this, the Bible, you can't sit down and read the Bible. You got to study the Bible. People say, when I read the Bible, I don't understand it. Well, no wonder. When you read your lesson in the textbook, you don't understand it. You got to stop and study it. So the Bible has to be studied. All right. Into the home stretch. So the emphasis on the essence of Christ and the position that he occupies relationship-wise in the lives of all believers. Those who dwell in this vein are privileged to abide above humanistic religious wisdom, philosophy, traditions, and legalistic requirements that many of God's people are denominationally ingrained into this morning. Philosophies?
Yes, indeed.
What are the subjects that are being preached across the pulpits right now? Those that are still preaching, like me, or even that have finished this morning. And this is why, and we will deal with this afternoon, topical preaching is a no-no. I told his brothers, dear, don't you get up here talking about my subject is anything. I'll pull your coattail. Unless you're saying my subject is Jesus. Don't even stand up here to waste our time on Sunday mornings talking about, or any other time, talking about other things than Jesus. This is not the place for it. There are many things that we can talk about, but this is not the place for it. Now, as we close, no, I don't have one closing. These statements are expressing that members of the body of Christ, the church, have Christ as their first one above everything and everyone else. I think I repeat this. Members of the body of Christ have Christ as the first one above everything and everyone else. Don't you ever put anything or anyone ahead of Jesus.
Nobody.
Nothing can be closer to a man than his wife or to a woman than a husband. But don't you put your spouse right here to Jesus. I said, Pastor, what, Daddy, are you serious? I am dead serious. Don't you put anyone or anything ahead of Jesus. Jesus is the only one and the only thing that you will have throughout all eternity.
Mm-hmm. Come on here.
I performed a wedding ceremony not too long ago, and we're happy to see the young married couple here this morning. And of course, when they took the vows, there's a limitation.
Mm-hmm.
It says, until death separates us.
Yeah.
Right.
Which means that that relationship has ended.
Mm-hmm.
With death.
Mm-hmm.
I know a man, it's a relative of mine. Wife died in 1990. He still has her clothes in the room, in the bedroom. In fact, he has a barrier in that room that is telling you don't go in there. All her clothes are in the closets and in the drawers and everything, all of her makeup, cosmetics, everything. Is still there.
Mm.
You know, he's operating in a fantasy land.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
She's been gone 14 years. Mama, you have to turn her loose.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how much you love.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Children,
sure.
You have to turn them loose.
Right.
Those are earthly relationships that have been assigned
right.
for the duration
right. Amen.
Of your dwelling
right.
on the earthly sphere,
right.
on
right.
earth, while you are on earth. That is your wife while you are on earth. That is your husband while you are on
mm-hmm.
earth. That is. These are your
mm-hmm.
y'all looking at me funny.
Mm-hmm.
These are your children while you are on earth.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, we all have exit plans.
Glory.
And then when God calls your number, that those relationships are severed, never to be no more. I know that some people say, oh, when I get to heaven, I want to see my mother. That's flesh talking. And I'm not saying this in a derogatory way, but when you get to heaven, amen, in your glorified state, amen, the operation will be the focus, amen, the affection, the attention, and everything else will be on the head, Christ, amen. You're not going to be worried about mother when you get to heaven, amen, because you're going to be so, amen, you're going to be so inundated with your affections and emotions as it focus on the God of your salvation. Oh my God, sweet Jesus, sweet Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh my God. We'll start. You see, we didn't even get through this today. We're not going to worry about it. If you don't spend time in church, amen, it has to be about God. No, even if we had thousands or millions of dollars, we would never give our tickets to the door. Everybody come to church, comes to church and registers today and stay through the whole service, we get a turkey at the end. So they didn't come for Christ, they came for the turkey.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Are we going to give out bicycles? And of course, I'm not knocking the, thank God that those that did it and had it to do it. Amen. Just don't make that the center
Hallelujah.
Of the operation.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Jesus. Jesus. Oh, how sweet the name.
Praise.
Jesus. The essence of our lives. The aspiration object of all that we aim for. That all that we do, all that we think, all that we are wrapped and tied in a man named Jesus. Can you say Jesus this morning?
Jesus.
Can you say Jesus? Do you love him this morning? Do you love him? Amen. Do you love him? Do you really love him? Amen. Do you know who he is this morning? Hallelujah. He is, in essence, what life is all about. We'll take it up next week. God bless you.
Thank you.